Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, welcome back to Circles of Change, to our final segment of the day. It's my pleasure to welcome a good friend of mine from a long time ago, Becky Shambaugh in Washington, D.C. How are you today, Becky?
Hi, Zara. Great. Thank you. Good to be with you this afternoon.
Exactly. This is Becky's second time, in fact. And back in 2009, we talked about her very first book, It's Not a Glass Ceiling, It's a Sticky Floor. And today we're going to touch on her second book, Leadership Secrets of Hillary Clinton, but also, in general, her focus on resiliency and helping leaders and their organizations move forward. So just a brief intro. Becky is president and CEO of Shambaugh Leadership, a firm selected by Entrepreneurship Magazine as one of the top entrepreneurial companies in the greater Washington, D.C. area. For over 20 years, her company has served organizations looking to enhance the ability of individuals to succeed in their careers and thus outperform expectations. Becky is particularly passionate about the WILL initiative, Women in Leadership and Learning, and she offers programs to accelerate the pipeline of women leaders, enhance their leadership competency, reduce regrettable losses, and then also drive inclusion. A native of Indiana and from a family of entrepreneurs in the construction business, Becky started her career as a manufacturing production manager before switching to human resources. She holds a Bachelor of Science degree in Industrial Relations and also Master of Arts in Organizational Development. In fact, this new book called The Leadership Secrets of Hillary Clinton, it was released and focuses on what it means for leaders to be resilient and how to achieve greater levels of energy, creativity, and endurance, indeed, in the midst of dealing with complex changes and adversity at both the individual and within organizational level, and quite frankly, within society as a whole. So, Becky, resilience, that is a popular term, and for those of us that have our fingernails hanging on as we grip through change, it's one that conjures up a lot of need for strength, doesn't it?
You know, it sure does. You know, I was just looking at some old notes in an old speech I had maybe 6 years ago, thinking I might be able to find some good tidbits for us here. But it was interesting. I started off 6 years ago talking about how much change that we're experiencing, right, and how we all need to embrace change. But you know, change is always going to be constant. But I do believe that the shifts that are happening now is totally much more of a major shift that's causing everybody in organizations and institutions to really step back, mm-hmm. you know, and look at where they're at and look at really flexing that resilient muscle to really navigate some of this dramatic, you know, and I think opportunistic new change. So, you know, it really is interesting. You know, I probably talk on my job. One of the favorite parts is I talk to an executive CEO just about every week somewhere. And it's remarkable all the things that we're kind of sharing, it, you know, across different tables and countries, is the whole, you know, global economic performance issue, the ability to kind of attract and retain, you know, new talent, you know, across the lines of new generations now, and looking at ways to engage a more inclusive, cross-collaborative, you know, workforce, and the whole notion around just innovation and just maintaining your competitive advantage in this much more competitive marketplace. Companies have really downsized, and now we're coming from the meltdown. Hopefully we're coming back up. But even though we're coming back up, I think those people that have the lens of being resilient will even do that much better as we come out of this.
Well, you know, my view of that word resilience, it also has with it not just this element of being able to take the battering during the storm, but at the same time reshaping and shifting things and really embedding a tremendous amount of hope for a better future. So it isn't just about maintaining the status quo. It's a belief in and staying that course.
Well, yeah, and I think one of the core dimensions, if you look at it just at the individual level, because this is where it all starts, is really getting clear on and what it is that's important to you, your own belief system, your own sort of sense of purpose and what you do and why you do it. And people that are more clear and are intentional about that are much able to navigate through rough terrain, new terrain, and also people are more willing to follow them as well. So I think in today's mantra, I was just having lunch with an executive, and it's less about sort of the organizational-centric direction, but it's really about inspiring people and really reinvigorating that sense of hope in their communities around the organization, if you will. And I'm really looking at that new vision, stepping out of the minutia and really being able to look out and see that future focus and really connect people, you know, with that new vision, with that new strategy, you know, with that sense of hope.
So the word resilience, you know, Becky, I know you go about and help people through whether it be one-on-one coaching or specific programs. So are you finding getting people to act out their fears, shall we say, or revisit some of the things you did well are really important to anchor people then through this?
Right. Well, first, fundamentally, you know, resilience, I think, to kind of build on your definition, is to really help people to deal with, you know, difficult times in their life, unpredictable change, could be new opportunities to get out of their comfort zone. So I think, you know, it is about, you know, one of the key derailers always has been for leaders, people, individuals, is relying to stay in their comfort zones, right? Not willing to be flexible and adaptable to change. So that is the first thing, is to really help people to adapt to a different mindset, that if I can, you know, expand, try something new, get an, you know, a new opportunity in the organization, some cross-committee work, or even, you know, take on, you know, extra responsibilities outside of your day-to-day work environment, just to kind of get that exposure and start building these new skill sets. That's an action that is positively kind of taken, you know, at the next level forward. So I think it's having that more positive mindset. You know, my dad always said that the glass is half empty, half full, but those people who are resilient kind of look at a challenge and an opportunity as something very positive, because they can come back and look at new ways of doing things and even become stronger and learning something from that, as opposed to kind of staying in that same place. So I think it's about really people looking inward and defining what is their own mindset. Has it been negative? Has it been positive? And are they willing to really kind of take on and grow along these, you know, difficult sort of times right now and look at it more as an opportunity?
Well, and in fact, I think there's been some recent studies and research that's come out that shows the individuals that are most resilient are actually who've been exercising these muscles of dealing with the unpredictable for quite some time. I mean, the classic story of someone who's lost a job, so that you kind of know what that is about and also the process to get through it. If it happens to them a second or regretfully sometime or a third or a fourth time, not to say that, okay, it's the same old train wreck reenacted, but nonetheless, there is a sense of experience embedded in it as well. So, you know, for example, I'm sure when you deal with and coach executives that are yet doing yet another downsizing or doing another merger, because they've gone through the uncertainties of another, not that it's going to be a carbon copy, it's like added to their gene infrastructure, I'll call it, to really build on that capability.
Right. Well, I think it, you know, it kind of gets back to the mindset. Once you start developing that resilient muscle, if you know, that you really have this attitude, it's not playing the victim. It's not, you know, I'm out of control, but it's more about getting used to that thought process and behavioral sort of approaches around, you know, I can learn from this. You know, I know the change might be difficult, but at the other end, it's actually going to be better. I'm going to be stronger. You know, I'm going to grow from that. I'm going to develop new relationships. So I think people that experience difficult times and begin to feel more comfortable being resilient, they realize that this process, this journey, gets them to a better place at the on the other end. So it's okay, right? Just it's going to be a tough time. It may be challenging. It's going to stretch me a little bit. I don't always feel comfortable with it, but normally, 99.9% of the time, you come out better on the other end. So
I think part of the challenge, though, isn't you're not quite sure always, though, when the other end is.
Right.
So it's this matter, it might not be on the detailed Microsoft project plan that you lay in place, because many times you have to take so many course corrections
right
to ultimately get it done.
Right, and that's where, you know, you look at, you know, when you're looking at change and so forth, or looking at your own personal career, and I think if we have the mindset, it's not a destination. Mm-hmm. It's not an endpoint, but it's really a journey, and I really do believe that. I mean, Zara, knowing you personally and myself many years ago, we didn't always have a linear plan or a roadmap. I think you're open to different opportunities. Things caught us by surprise, but we got in there. We led with a strength. We had a sense of a confidence within ourselves, and we took those things on and even became even stronger and more confident because of that. So if you look at life, career, job, whatever, as more of a journey and not sort of self-limiting yourself to jump into some of these new experiences, get out of your comfort zone a little bit, you know, you end up creating more opportunities and having more choices as sometimes through these different situations.
Well, I also think you realize that you thought your journey was to go from A to M, and you realize if you take the fork to the left, it's going to bring that much more opportunity for you to make an impact in the organization or to enlist other people in the change journey at the same time.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Becky, can you cite an example for us where you've seen, you know, maybe a very successful leader that perhaps has been involved in multiple change initiatives, yet comes to one that really becomes an impasse. And I know from my own experience, I've seen some of the best leaders navigate through that almost as if they're on autopilot. And it's almost like they put themselves into a zone and start pulling upon reserves, I'll call it, that they may not even known they could tap.
Right. Well, I think a lot of that comes from that deeper self-knowledge of themselves. Yeah. Usually you find leaders who go through really difficult times but champion through it are those that really operate because they're on purpose, because they really do have a better understanding and underlying self-knowledge of themselves and what really matters at the end of the day based on my core beliefs, assumptions, and even value systems. You know, when you ask great leaders who've kind of navigated through difficult times or whatever, they're just very much great champions running their organizations. They don't talk about their job title. They talk about the purpose of what they do and why they do it. So people who have that sense of strong purpose can really manage to get through tough times because they believe in it so much, right, that they can just propel through some of these difficult changes.
Well, and in fact, as lunatic as it sounds, they actually are attracted to be in environments that drive them to become, indeed, act on those skills.
Right.
So in other words, those type of individuals wouldn't know how to behave if it was a real stable situation.
Well, that's very true. So I think, for listeners here to find, opportunities out there, jobs that really align with, what's important to you, how do you really want to serve, what brings you energy, what aligns with your value system and beliefs, because the more you have that kind of alignment, the more energy, by the way, you're going to have, and that's also what happens. You get more energy to propel yourself through things, but also, you're willing to stay with it because you believe in it. It sticks with you. It's very much aligned with, who you are. Whoever knew that I was going to be CEO of a Fortune, of an organization has it's a global leadership practice. But I did believe in the passion and the mission of what we do. And so I went through highs and lows. But I think I was propelled to move through that based on a vision that I had around leadership. And really, for one example, just being a vehicle to help women to get from one place to the next. It was really around a passion that I had that kept me going. So I think the other thing is really in being resilient in connection with leaders and individuals is to really be a game changer. Every conversation I have with senior leaders and executives, people running organizations, they're looking for those future leaders, those people that they really want to sort of bring into their inner circle or their team, are people that are willing to get out of their comfort zone. They're willing to make changes and be flexible and adaptable. They're willing to really getting different experiences in terms of cross-committee work, getting exposed to different people and becoming much more visible so they can have a greater access of knowledge to things around the change. So it's they're a little more ahead of the game and prepared for when the change does come.
Well, I think the other piece of it, too, is they're willing to raise their hand or stomp their feet when they see something that's gone awry and hold themselves accountable for taking positive action. Not just, throw the data on the table, but really bring forth, so what is it we can do with that?
Right.
Becky, the question I would have is, okay, we've got a number of listeners, I'm sure, that are saying, okay, I get it, this idea of being resilient, but, I've gone through so much ups and downs in my own career. Do you believe people can get the residual effect, shall we say, of being around someone who is resilient and not so much as hang on to their coattails, but maybe shoulder to shoulder learn some of these type of attitudes and perspectives? Or do you really think it takes, rolling up your sleeves and having done it yourself to have that confidence?
I think it's a combination of both, but I find that aligning yourself with role models or, the whole notion around observation of particularly observing leaders, people, through difficult and stressful times.
Right.
And to me, that's how you differentiate a good leader from a great leader, is how they deal with stress, how they deal with change, how they deal with challenges that are unexpected, and how they really navigate through those, through their own staying centered, through keeping things at a sort of level of perspective, and then just how they sort of, travel through it. And I think you learn a lot about people and then about yourself and how you can maybe adapt some of these things into your day-to-day.
Well, I think also, some people will tell you, well, it really depends on the culture of the organization. For example, a hierarchical command and control corporation, I won't have to do this or I will have to do that when it comes to leading change. Or one that's more open, participative, et cetera, et cetera. But quite frankly, I think, at least based on my work, is that when a crisis hits, it's a whole nother game, right? I mean, culture aside, having hands on deck and getting people in sync quickly and pulling upon the reserves of everyone in the community is so very important.
Well, that's right. That's when you see people coming from all different aspects of the organization out of the woodwork, and that's where you see multiple leaders coming, no matter where you are in the level of the organization. That's where you start seeing that thought leadership coming from all different pockets. You know, it doesn't matter where you are, but this is where people, leaders really value top talent, is when they come up with that different idea. They ask a key question because they've done their homework before they've come into a meeting. And it's a darn good question that really challenges people's old assumptions, gets people thinking out of the box. So I think when you're coming to the table, I think people who are resilient, they embrace this whole notion around appreciative inquiry. You know, when everything is just had a train wreck, or you've had a bad client call meeting, what you try to do is start from a place of goodness, something that's really working, and kind of building from there, as opposed to being that negative, you know, nothing's going to work, we give up, we can't control anything. So I think that once I went, getting back to mindset, bringing in new ideas, asking challenging questions. Oh, and by the way, never resilient people never hesitate to say, I don't understand what
exactly.
You're saying.
I don't know. So they get more information.
Right. Yeah. Never be fearful of saying, what are the underlying assumptions of what's leading us to go in this direction? Because I really would like to learn. Those are the kind of things that really stand out in terms of thought leadership, but being that resilient person.
So let's say you're a leader and running in some, you know, some deep and fast and murky water. It's not always clear, you know, how you're going to surface from an organizational standpoint. You may personally feel you've got the resilience as well as several of those around you, but you can see the organization isn't as itself a resilient organization. In other words, because they aren't tapping on all the different venues of learning or the different ideas or partnering with who on the outside could help them. What type of coaching or guidance do you give leaders then at that point? You know, how can they remake themselves? Essentially, you got to go change the tire on the car, on the race car, as it's going around the track, in other words.
Right, exactly. And, you know, we've seen that more and more. People have been so transactionally focused, they forget that, you know, organizations are really should be people-centric as well, and they become disengaged. And 70% more of the U.S. workforce is disengaged. So I think, therefore, they're not resilient. There's no energy. They're tapped out. So I think,
Stuck in fear, too.
Yeah, or they're stuck in fear. So to move them through that fear chain, one of the most important things that leaders can do is to communicate. But it's communicating in a way that it has an inspirational vision. We've lost that visionary leadership because we've been so much head in the trenches, right? So I think any leader, and the research is indicating that what people will go and stay in an organization, one of the key criteria is they have a trust in the leadership team, but they have a vision. So leaders need to get out there and re-inspire and share that vision, but connect it to the hearts and minds of those people that are there. It means being sensitized to what they care about, what are their top value systems, and then paint a picture for them, how they fit in to this change effort and how they can help them navigate through to a better tomorrow. So the more that they can connect it to them versus the organization, the customers, and knowing that they are the key players, and I need each and every one of you to kind of shore up and support me in this mission, I mean, the more that they're going to be energized, engaged, and if you can connect with what's important to them, right down to the housekeeper. You know, you're not just cleaning toilets or washing dishes. You really create an environment where people want to come and stay and live I had the wonderful feeling of wanting to come back. I mean, that's that moving from function to purpose.
It's very interesting. I was coaching someone just this week, in fact, and asked him, so have you gotten feedback on these new changes that you've made? And he says, well, no, not really. He says, but actually, I think that's good news because nobody's complaining. I said, well, you might want to do another take on this, is that could you show me your team and put a dot by the people that you know are hair on fire, passionate every day that they walk in here? And there were like 50 people on this grid, and he picked out three names. And I said, so tell me, I don't really think this is about, at this point of what you're trying to do, not getting negative noise. In other words, this is where you got to see, how do we get more dots on this chart of really people being impassioned by what they're doing?
Absolutely. And that's where the important work is around leadership. You know, the days of more of a company-centric sort of focus, you know, are really, we're talking about shifts and trends, is really diminishing, and it really is more about that people-centric approach.
Well, particularly, you mentioned earlier, with four generations in the workforce, you're not going to grab the hearts and keep the minds and energy and get that extra icing on the cake from those who otherwise have seen the only way to survive is being mobile, the younger generations.
Right, exactly. Well, and, you know, right now there's probably every other week I walk into an organization that's four generations, you know, at least three. And I think that's going to be, how do you really manage across, you know, the different generations? And one thing I urge people and organizations to do is not to categorize. You know, we did that with genders decades ago, and we're still trying to, you know,
unravel that one,
into one. But I do think if we can look at a mindset where we look at the goodness of all the different generations, ages, perspective, and see what we can pull out of those and connect all of those dots. Because I think there's benefit of, I'll tell you a quick story. One of our clients, the chairman of the board, 67 years old, had never had a believe it or not, a BlackBerry or a mobile phone. And so he finally got one for Christmas. And he didn't even know how to use it, didn't even know he could get phone calls on his BlackBerry. So one of the, you know, the IT guys who was an extra came up to the office, and, you know, the chairman of the board was struggling, walking down the hall, was trying to figure out how to use this, and this noise was happening, and here was somebody, you know, ringing him on the phone. He said, I don't know what this is. Is this like an alarm system or something? So, of course, the XR, you know, obviously an IT sort of technical guru, was able to help him to understand fundamentally about, you know, tools and solutions to help him to be an even more effective leader, you know, in terms of using the BlackBerry and the cell phone and vice versa. You know, this guy's a great, been in the business for several years and knows how to grow businesses and so forth, so tapping on that knowledge as well. So I think that we can learn simply that from all cross generations.
And I think, and that term resilience then comes from different experiences, regardless of what our age is, gender, nationality, and so on. Well, Becky Shambaugh, thanks so much for joining us. I want to point our listeners to Becky's site. It's ShambaughLeadership.com, as well as her two books, It's Not a Glass Ceiling, It's a Sticky Floor, as well as The Leadership Secrets of Hillary Clinton. Thanks, Becky, and we'll catch up with you again real soon.
Thanks, Sarah. A pleasure.
You bet. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.